Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it.
So I sent you this acronym. I've actually talked about this before, and then I went back, decided I don't want that one up there. I want us to discuss this a little bit. And so we're going to kind of go over this, and I've actually adjusted just even a little bit some of these things. And so you might be able to guess on some of them, but I doubt it.
What are you trying to say?
But let's see. what's it called? And so... One of the reasons why I was I'm an acronym person. I always have been an acronym person, and then I went into the Air Force.
Just go work for a corporation, right?
Well, and then I went into the Air Force and I started becoming like a leadership nerd, right? And so none of that, all of those things are acronyms, right? Yes. Leadership nerd, a bunch of different acronyms within leadership books. But then the Air Force, if you work for the government, period, and especially the military, acronyms, right? Acronym.
Sure.
So it didn't help. It only made it worse. And so as I was thinking about unity, right, and thinking about this idea of, hey, we talk about unity. That is really the emphasis, right? We're coaching on unity. We are trying to invest in collaborative efforts. And we spend this podcast talking about unity, giving a focus on it, and why, right? Why do we do that? And so, of course, my mind went to an acronym.
All right.
I see it. And so we're talking about unity being these things, right? And it makes the acronym of unity. And this is why we're talking about it, because these things kind of help characterize unity as a subject, as a whole, within the kingdom, within the world. And so it starts off with the U being that it's undervalued. Reason we're focusing on and we're talking about a lot is I feel like unity often becomes undervalued. And it's interesting because it's undervalued in the sense that I feel like most people would say, yeah, unity is important. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of that saying of, and you've said this, right? Show me your calendar. Yeah. Right? Like, show me your calendar. Show me your pocketbook. I know... I want to say me and Pastor Dusty were talking about that, and he was saying, we know what you value by your calendar and your pocketbook, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we'll say, yeah, it's important, but then the time, the effort, the energy that we put towards it, I believe unity is highly undervalued. And so that's one of the reasons why, just like even in conversations here, we always circle back around to it, right? We're always talking about it. That's the emphasis, because it's like, look, somebody needs to just stay here and talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you got the difference between within a single church body and a bigger C church.
Right? Come on now.
Which I think the undervalued especially stands out to me as being especially between churches.
Absolutely.
There's like, well, we got a good thing going here in our church. I don't need the other churches to be in unity with us.
Yeah.
It's just not as prevalent as it could be.
Yeah.
Here in the Valley, it's actually pretty good.
It's pretty good.
There's a lot of things happening different churches working together.
Yeah.
But as a whole, I think it's been a struggle, I think, to see real unity between the churches.
Absolutely.
And even just the fact that we have like many different denominations and stuff like that shows that there's some disunity there. Yeah.
But, and so what's interesting, I'm going to jump forward. If I start bringing that, you're about to make me jump all the way to the Y. definitely. I feel like a lot of times, especially when it comes to between Christian organizations, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll think of it, we'll give more attention to it within our own organization, but you're right. It's that kind of like, oh, we're doing a good thing. They're doing good. Yeah, we're good. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of times we settle more for not being against it than we do being for it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm not against it.
I'm not against them,
but I'm not really going to do anything to make it happen.
Exactly.
Either.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those that, that to me, that's showing a undervalue. It's kind of like, well, it's
right. It's not going to benefit me even though I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which wouldn't be true, I don't think.
No.
I think it really does benefit the churches to work together.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen that. One of the things that we talk about when in what I'm doing is, because I'm trying to bring churches together specifically, is not overlapping ministries. So like if there's someone in your city or town that has a food pantry, you don't need to also do a food pantry.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's already happening. Yep. You can just support their food pantry because that's a lot of resources and storage space and all these things that you got to build within your church.
Exactly.
To do it as well. And there's like so many other ministries. Exactly. Like there's so many things that we can do as a church.
Yeah.
And when if one church tries to do all of it,
we'll
go back to like what we were just talking about in our last episode about burnout.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to do too many things altogether.
Exactly.
Where if you know what every church in town is doing, you can be like, well, I have some people that are very interested in that ministry. Can they join you for that?
Exactly.
And do it with you and still be part of our church.
Cause,
or even not, you know, maybe that's the right church for them.
Right.
Can we do more things that way where we're all working together instead of trying to force every single ministry into one church building.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes to that next letter and the acronym, which is a lot of times we feel like we need to put our own logo and stamp on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Rather than saying, nope, we're going to send some of our people over here to help church Y.
Right. Look what our
their
church
ministry.
Did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now church Y's ministry is blowing up and doing well. Right. And we're not getting any of the recognition for that.
Oh, sure.
Matthew 6, right before Matthew 7. We're not getting any of the recognition for that. But with that, unity, the N that we have down is nameless. Unity is a nameless thing, meaning that for unity to work, we have to be okay being nameless.
Mm.
Like we have to be okay not putting our name on it. It's not about us, our name. It's about the sake of the long-term goal, the vision.
It's
really
about his name.
I was about to say, really, it's about his name.
So it's not nameless completely.
Yeah.
But it's not like an individual organizational name.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
That's good. I like that.
And so you have this idea of, okay, it's highly undervalued. And one of the reasons why we often think of it that way is because we're focused on the name. How is this going to build our ministry?
Yes.
Right. How is this going to? No, unity is a nameless thing, right? It's not about building this up. It's not about getting that recognition going this way or that way. It really just does come back to the fact of it's about him. It's about his kingdom. And
that's so hard too. Because like I even just talking about it, I recognize my own desire for that, right? Because we want the achievement to be ours.
Yes.
Like each individual within the organization.
Absolutely.
And then of course, as organizations as a whole, like I want to be the one responsible for creating that thing.
Yeah.
Because maybe it was an idea that God gave to me, but not necessarily just mine.
Yeah.
Like I've noticed,
specific
ideas that I've had that he's given other people too.
And you know what's funny about
that? And
that's
where we got to come together and actually build the thing.
You know what's funny about that is I wholeheartedly believe that most of the time when God is stirring something and giving vision and whatnot,
he's
giving it to multiple people usually. Yeah. And what's so interesting about it is that a lot of times it's around the same time. It's not like, he gave me like this vision for, a young adult like ministry. Yeah. Right. And it's not like I had that in this generation and then in the previous generation, somebody had something similar. It's like, no, at the same time, like literally like within a year or two, like you're seeing these things kind of start to bubble up and it's God just spreading this.
Yeah. And we want so badly to get the credit for it.
Oh, man.
I know that's me too. Like, seriously, like I there's so many things I'm like, man, we want credit. We do.
Yep.
That's our pride.
Yeah.
Like that's the struggle we have. And we fail to recognize that all those things actually usually come from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they don't, they're probably not godly anyway.
Come on now. And so what's it called? So we have it's undervalued. It's nameless. And then the I, incarnational. Unity, is incarnational. I love the idea of this because to me what, okay, let me turn, because this is what comes to my mind. One of the first things that comes to my mind first and foremost is just 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 12. We know mm-hmm. it, the body, right? And when the body comes together, now people are seeing the body of Christ on display, right? When we work together, John 17, now the people will know, right? That God sent Jesus. They'll know who he is what Jesus says. When we are one,
when we
are one, then the world will know that you sent me. And so it's one of those things to where it really helps to embody and show the world God. Yeah. And it's incarnational. Also right here, it's in 1 John chapter 4.
I think many people might not fully understand what that word is. Will you describe it?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I had to look it up. So
incarnation.
It's not a common word.
I know, right? All this Christianese. but what's it called? Yeah. So incarnational. That is the word that we regularly use when referring to Jesus coming in the flesh, right? So God becoming in the flesh, appearing before mankind in the flesh. So when we talk about something being incarnational, we like to talk about being incarnational in ministry. That means that it's not just like words and philosophy. We're embodying Jesus. We're embodying the kingdom and the move of God, right? Yeah. And so we are, we're being his hands and feet in our community, in the neighborhood. We're putting, you know, flesh and bone to this, to
and
the
Jesus
display
called
of God.
Us to unity.
Absolutely.
So unity is incarnational in that we're being more like Jesus by practicing unity.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're revealing him. Like Jesus came to reveal God. He came as God with us, right? Like mm-hmm. he made it to where, oh, now we can see, we can feel, we can touch. When we are being one, he says, now they will see, right? Like they will recognize, right? And so it's one of those things to where we're putting it in front of people.
And you can make the argument that love is unity and love are somewhat synonymous.
Come on now.
Right. So, and what he calls us to do is they will, he said, they will know you by your love for each other,
right?
Or love for one another.
Yeah. They'll know that you're
so,
mine.
In a way, he says they will love you by your unity with one another too, because that's, if we're loving each other, we are in unity.
Yeah. Come on now. It's funny that you bring that up. Cause right here, 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 6, this is where this is the passage where I got saved through this passage.
Okay.
Right. Where he's talking about how God is love. And so I said verse 6, but I was wrong. I meant down at verse 12. So he says, I'm gonna start at 11 just cause I like this passage. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And this is where it is. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And so I love this concept here because what he's saying is, look, people can't see God. God is invisible, right? And this is part of that incarnation. Mm-hmm. Jesus made God visible.
Yeah.
Like he brought God before people's faces, his eye.
God in flesh.
They could hear him. They could see him. They could probably smell him. Right. And so it's like God in the flesh, God right there. When we are practicing unity, now people can feel it. They can see it. When we're coming together and we're cooking up a meal and we're feeding the homeless together, they can smell it. Right. Yeah. It's like we are.
They'll know you are my followers because
come
of that.
On now. Come on. So it's one of those things. Yeah. By our love, by us being in unity, when we do that, we are displaying. We're putting on a display as the body of Christ that's incarnational.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing people this is what the body of Christ is. This is who God is. This is Jesus. So, man.
And that's what discipleship really is. It's like, how do we become more like Jesus?
Let's go. let's go.
Just to simplify it, very simple.
Let's go. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Going back to the undervalued, right? And the incarnational. One of the reasons why I wanted to use that word incarnational is because when we're walking in unity, we are doing what Jesus would do.
Yeah.
Like we're becoming more like him. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we are displaying him. And I think that's so important just to recognize, look, as believers, as disciples of Christ, our whole aim and goal is to be with him and to be like him. Mm-hmm. Jesus is in unity and he practices unity.
Yeah.
Right? He calls us to that. When we walk the narrow path, when we follow him and his road, those are steps towards unity, right? And being in unity. And so I think it's so important just to realize, man, this is part of embodying him in the world, is practicing this. When all the world will turn against each other and go haywire, and the world produces and pushes out so much division and hatred and strife and all these different things, and the world would promote pride and us diverting and turning away from each other, here in the kingdom of God and following Jesus's steps, no, we're going to show them something different. We're going to be one.
Right.
Man,
that's which so is weird. Why reading the Bible is so important, because yeah. Right. If we're all reading it together,
yeah,
we're all going to come to the same conclusions, mm-hmm. Because he's going to shape all of us in yeah. this way to, like, he's going to refine off those edges yep. and start helping us to deal with our pride. Like we just talked yep. about, like, he's going to start pulling that away a little bit, and then we'll be like, okay, well, yeah, maybe I don't need all the credit. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should work with the church down the street that's going to help advance this ministry further than I would be able to do it on my mm-hmm. own. And you start realizing that we really are better together. Like yeah. it's just true.
Yeah. And I feel like getting away from that pride will also help us to say, okay, they don't need to see it the exact same way I see it. They don't need to do right. it the exact same way I would do it. Right. And
that's one of the big barriers, oh. right?
It's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But I could do it so much better.
Uh-huh.
Again, yeah. again, that's a pride
yeah.
statement.
Absolutely. okay. So we have undervalued, nameless. It is incarnational. Number three is just big. It's simple. It's to the point. It's timely. Like, it's, come on, guys, it's about time.
Yeah. I know, right?
Right.
2,000 years.
Right? Like, come on, guys. It's about time. and like, in the scope of human history, right? In the scope of the history of the church, but also with what we're trying to accomplish. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean like me and you, but I'm just thinking like within the body of Christ today, within your ministry, within around the world right now, with all of the animosity and division and cancel culture and like everything that we have going on. Right. And within your ministry, I can wholeheartedly say this because I'm confident in it, even without knowing specifically where your ministry is at. I could say, hey, it's timely.
Like, oh, yeah.
Unity. It's time for you to do these things in unity, to practice unity. It will only benefit and help what you're doing.
Yeah, because we can't reach everyone.
No.
Like, no one person, I mean, as prideful as we might want to be, mm-hmm. I still recognize that I'm not
yeah.
going to reach the 8 billion people on the planet.
Come on.
And growing.
Yeah. I like, can't reach the thousands of people yeah, just within my
I
own
could
city.
Barely reach like 12. Like, right? And Jesus did 12, right? And that might be too many for right? me because I'm not Jesus.
Right?
But
come on. Let's be honest.
Let's like, try to be more
honest.
Let's,
now we
let's
start.
Be super humble about it and be like, no, I actually probably can only reach a couple really right. well. But we need each other to be able to share the love of Christ to everybody.
Yeah.
And Jesus do that. Like, he didn't say, like, hey, you 12 now hang out and be together and don't reach out to the rest of the world mm-hmm. and work together
yeah.
to do that. Like it was all about unity.
Exactly. Oh man. So yeah, it's timely. It's undervalued. It's nameless. It's incarnational. It's timely. It's about time. It's the right time to do it. Wherever you may be, it's timely in the sense that there are some people who are really, who need to see that. Like you may not have that opportunity yeah. to display Christ to them in the way that they would see it if you would just work in unity.
Well, how many people don't go to the church because they don't see
exactly,
unity?
Exactly, right?
They're like, that's not a place I want to be. There's yep. no unity there.
Right.
Like certain churches, right? Mm-hmm. Or just us as a whole.
Yeah.
Like not getting along or fighting. No,
absolutely.
I look at like comments sometimes on other Christian content creators, right?
Gosh.
And you get these commenters from other Christians just like blasting right? them. And you're like, wait, aren't you guys on the same team?
Should be.
Like, aren't you? Right? And it's usually just complete condemnation and not unifying.
Yeah.
It's like, and it goes against what the Bible says about, taking it to your brother first in private, which is, because of social media, like it's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so we find ourselves in these situations where we're creating a lot of disunity with other people just because it's about really not important things usually.
Yeah. Well, and then the way what that shows versus what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
How it's undervalued. It's nameless. It's incarnational, right? And the display of unity, showing God to the world. What does all of that division and all of that strife and us condemning each other and attacking mm-hmm. each other?
Yeah.
I always like to say that when we're walking in true discipleship, when we're walking in oneness, when we're walking in unity, when we're walking in love, when we're doing these things, we're showing people the resurrected Savior, the risen Savior, right? Yeah. Over here, we're showing him crucified. We're showing him on the cross. We're showing a body that's broken and beaten and that looks like it's failing, right? It looks like it's lost hope. It looks like it's, and so the world, like we can look back and say, oh, Calvary was beautiful. Calvary was great. Calvary accomplished so much. Mm-hmm. But think about just the image of, okay, you're seeing a church hanging on a cross. You're seeing a man who was claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be the King of Israel, claiming these things. And he's on the cross, hanging, gasping his last breaths, beaten to a pulp, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the resurrected Savior, right?
Yeah.
Like who are we supposed to be displaying to the world as the body of Christ? The one that's still going through the crucifixion mm-hmm. or the one who's risen?
Yeah.
We should save this for Easter. Come on. We need to save this for Resurrection Sunday. Oh,
we can bring it back up.
Come on now.
We shall resurrect again.
But like, think about it, right? Like that's who we're supposed to be displaying.
Yeah.
Right. And Paul talks about this. If he wasn't risen, like we're to be pitied more than anyone. So that's why the world
is wasting time.
This is why the world's looking at people in the church and looking at the church so often, like, like pitying us, thinking that, they don't know, thinking that they're ignorant,
right.
Like looking at the world with this contempt and pity because they're looking at a body that isn't showing a resurrected Savior.
Mm.
They're looking at a body that's showing one that's still on the cross. I would have felt sorry for the disciples at that point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, this guy who you thought was the Messiah is over there.
Well, I feel sorry for myself. Right. If that's true. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Cause
that's what Paul says that we should feel sorry.
We should
about
be pitied more than anybody. Pity me. For believing in this, if it's not true.
Right.
But it is true.
We have to show that.
Yeah.
Like that unity, that oneness, us walking in love. That's what shows the resurrected Savior.
Yeah.
Risen. Come on. Come on, somebody. Slow me down. On, okay. so last one. It's undervalued. It is nameless. It is incarnational. It's timely. And then the why. Yearning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that unity is something that is so deeply inside of us that we just yearn for.
Yeah.
Like, I believe it's kind of like how you're talking about that God-shaped hole.
Right.
I think so often, so many of the things that we look for, so many of our actions that we do as humankind, whether it's the right or wrong way to go about it, it's because we're yearning for something that is the kingdom of heaven. We're yearning for something that is characteristic of God. And
we're yearning for people to come alongside us.
Yes, we're yearning for community.
Like there's
we're
this,
yearning, oh, come
there's
on.
This is like the opposite of what I was talking about before with the pride and us wanting to achieve on our own. There is kind of like this joy and stuff that comes from doing things together.
Absolutely.
And it's part of it goes back to that. Like we're made for community.
Yeah.
And we want to be with someone, with a group of people.
Yeah.
That being the church, like there's nothing better than that.
Absolutely.
Like I love being, ever since I got involved with the church, I've always loved being a part of the church.
Yeah.
Because it's people working together towards joy and love and like, what's better than that?
Yeah.
Like when we're actually in unity,
mm-hmm.
And then there's disunity in the church and that's going to happen. Like there's no way around it. Like that, again, the enemy's trying to create disunity. He's trying to bring in things and that's where we really have to lean into God and each other and be honest and not be people pleasers and all those things that we could talk about, the things that I've struggled with in that. But when we can talk things out and work things together in unity, we see great fruit, like the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about, the love, the patience, the kindness, long suffering. That's a little bit in there.
maybe a little bit.
Sometimes I think we might think that unity means that we're never going to suffer or never going to have any issues.
Yeah.
But that's not true either, right?
No.
It's unity, I think, is being willing to work through those things together and do it as a body of Christ together. And there's compassion and there's mercy and there's all those things that go along with that.
Mm.
Because the wrongs will happen and that doesn't automatically disunity.
Yeah. Oh man. And what's it called? So there was a couple of things that just came across my mind here. And let me see if I can find this one. Okay. Now I know where I'm turning, but with what you were just, oh, I lost it. Okay. I lost it.
There's
something good. It's gone. Okay. I think I got it back. I think I got it. So, it kind of touched on that incarnational piece, but it comes back to a lot of it. And it's just really that fact of when we're practicing unity, to me, that is such a difficult, beautiful furnace where we grow and we are sanctified.
Yeah.
We are sanctified through that process of trying to practice unity.
Yeah.
Because it takes, like you were saying, long suffering. It takes
humility.
It takes, and it's like all these.
It takes sitting at a table
and
talking things out, which in our culture, I think it's more common for people just to avoid and leave.
Yeah.
Without having a conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's all these things that are the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're trying to walk in unity, you're trying to be one, like Jesus is praying, like trying to see the fulfillment of that prayer, man, that takes sanctification.
Yeah.
That takes walking in the Spirit and seeing the fruit of the Spirit just developed all within your life. And so, oh man.
And forgiveness.
Come on now.
Right. We need to be willing to be forgiving, ask for forgiveness, be forgiving.
Absolutely.
I think those are the things where we're going to have not disunity, but like things come up that could lead it to disunity. But when we can have that place of humility and asking for forgiveness and then be willing to give forgiveness, then we're going to be able to maintain the unity piece.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when it comes to the yearning, I just want to finish with even like one more thought here with the yearning in this verse. And it's this idea that even, for example, like with the divisions that we see, this the disunity, all these different things that we can see within the world and within the church, mm-hmm. unfortunately,
yeah.
even that. So like I said, sometimes we have a yearning for something that's godly, but we don't know how to go about it. I think sometimes we end up practicing and making disunity happen because we're actually looking for unity. And what I mean by that is disunity. There's actually this great book and it's called Disunity in Christ. And she gets into this and she talks about the psychological factors that really go towards and cause us to be divided. And one of those things is the less I'm like him, the more I'm like us. Right? Mm-hmm. The less we're like them, the more we're like us. Mm. And so what you're doing a lot of times and what people are doing is by pushing and making this division happen, by feeding into this and this this division, this disunity, whatever it may be, by causing that separation, they're making themselves feel like they're more at home, more belonging and community with the side that agrees with them. And yeah. so it's really oh, yeah, okay. that's what they're looking for is that idea of, oh, I'm more at home here. These are my people. So I'm like, their people, but they do it by pushing yeah. others away.
So like unity in that sense would be everybody agrees with me.
At least all my
like,
people.
Right. So yeah. that's, I mean, like, as long as I seek unity, I want everybody to agree, uh-huh. but I want them to agree with me.
Yeah. Or
rather than me being also willing to like mm-hmm. make, what's that called? Concessions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's one of those things to where our desire for unity, our desire for community, we're going about it by pushing some away. It's that old play. I mean, back at the playground, right?
Yeah.
Right. Back at the playground, you have a group of kids.
Got your clique.
Right. And, and you're with your friends and they start making fun of this other little kid or whatnot. And you don't like how it feels. You know, this is wrong. Right. But you don't want to stand up for them because now you're not part of this friend group.
Right.
So what do you do? You start going along with it and you say something, right? And you make a joke or right. you laugh yeah. at them and you're mean to them. And so now you're pushing because by disassociating with them, yeah. by not being
it's
with them,
tribal nature, right?
It is. You're trying to establish
we
yourself.
Naturally create our tribes.
Yeah. There it is. Okay. I want to read this. This kind of goes along with it and we can close with this guy. It's 1 Corinthians 11, and it's right around verse 19. It says, let me start at verse 18. It says, "For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized." This is interesting. this is so interesting because when we look at this idea of we want oneness, we want unity. And here we see Paul saying there's going to be factions. There must be factions mm-hmm. So that we can recognize those of you who are genuine. To me, this is where we see there is an opportunity, right? There's an opportunity when there is division. There's an opportunity for those who belong to Christ to be recognized and how we're positioning ourselves, how we're responding, the way our behavior. So kind of going back to even it being timely, like us, our response and step with the Spirit, us being unifiers in such a divided world and such a divided church right now, showing like so that those among you who are genuine may be recognized.
Yeah.
I think that's big.
That's big. And it's going to be, it's a big task.
It is.
It's not a simple thing.
It's not easy.
It's it's us fighting for unity, not just with each other. It's first trying to unify ourselves to God.
Yes.
Because if we can do that, if we're all doing that together, we will become more unified together.
Unity, and just the philosophical sense, means nothing and is for, or I shouldn't say means nothing. Unity in the philosophical sense, should be counted as nothing. I'm going to use Paul's words, should be counted as nothing. If it's for the Tower of Babel. Right. If it's for God too, exactly. Right. And so,
that's not the unity.
Yeah. That's not the unity we're looking for. Right. But it's
not the unity we're looking for.
They're not the droids you're looking for, but it's what, Jesus is talking about in John 17. It's that idea of, him praying that we would be one.
Yeah.
And not just to be one with one another on some weird adventure of mankind seeking something.
Well, that's where a cult becomes.
Right? Yeah, that's where a cult, right? But it's us being one in relationship with him.
With God.
One in him, And one, so very important. That has to be the center of it.
Yeah.
So, man, okay. All right. I think that's it. And I'm gonna close us in prayer this time, just on that thought. Any last words?
Nope.
All right.
Let's go.
Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can look to Jesus' life and we can see in him. We can see this love and this value of us being one and being one with you, right? He showed us this just beautiful submission and oneness with you. And Jesus' prayer calls us into that and abiding in him, abiding with you. And so we just pray that you would help us in that. We pray that you would help us, Father, to be humble and not worried about our names, but only yours, that we would think about your kingdom first. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to walk in such a manner that it reflects you. It reflects that our Lord is risen, that it reflects that his body is one, that the world would hear, that, oh, the world would hear that the Lord is one. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to do so in a way that shows we are patient, yes, but that we also are looking at today and we're looking at tomorrow with a sense of urgency for our family, our friends, for our loved ones, our community to come into contact with the kingdom of heaven, to come into contact with our Lord and King. And we pray that you would help us, Father, to continue to pursue this longing, this yearning that we have and that all of creation has to be brought back into unity with you, that we would pursue it in a way that honors you and helps to build bridges and helps us to be not only just in unity with you, but to be a unifier and to walk in one with you and in love and community with one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow.
Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.